Well, good evening and greetings in the precious name of Jesus. Tonight, a welcome to each one. Thank you for coming. We're singing tonight that the road to heaven, it seems hard to find. And tonight, I would like to make that road for all of us easy to find. I'd like to make it clear for us what that road is. You can turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7 again. So we look at the other way. Last night we looked at the broad way. Tonight we'd like to gain some truth about the narrow way. Matthew chapter 7. Before we move into the message, let's just bow our heads for prayer. Father, we bow before you and we ask for your help, and we need you, and we pray that you would guide our thoughts, and may you come down tonight. Father, if there's anything said tonight that is not true, may it be trampled into the ground and never thought of again. But we know your word will stand forever. Father, help us. Give us eyes to see. Thank you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13. I'd like for all of us to read these verses with me. So all together, verse 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way, that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Well, last night we asked the question, why were there many people on the broad road? And tonight we're going to ask the question, why are there just a few people on this road? Look down in verse 14, and we read that word, life. Just look at that word. Don't we all like that word? Life. It's built into us. We all like to live. We all desire to live. We fight to live. It's a rich word. Life. Is Jesus talking about this life? Obviously he's not, because he's saying there's only a few people that will ever find the life that he's talking about here. It's a life that is beyond this life. It's a life that's higher than this life. Something bigger. It's not here. You won't find this life here that Jesus is talking about. The narrow way will lead to this destination. Who of us wouldn't want life? We all want life. We all want to live forever. We all will live forever. The opposite of life. We see a lot of opposites here in contrast. We have life and destruction. We have wide and we have straight. We have broad and narrow. Just a lot of opposites describing two different roads. And you know what? Before Jesus died, before he gave his life and poured out his lifeblood so that people can find this road and move to the end of the road to life, he knew already that only a few people would ever benefit from his sacrifice. But he still did it. He still did it, even though he knew that there was just a few people that would ever truly find this way. Well, Jesus tells us that the way that leads to life is a narrow way. What does that mean? Well, it means it's a very compressed way. It has the idea of being pressed out. And it has the idea of if you think of grapes And they talk about treading the wine press, and these crushed the grapes and squeeze the juice out of them. Sort of the meaning of this word, narrow, is to squeeze and to crush. Hard pressed. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, this word is translated, same word, but gives us a little bit of a better meaning of what Jesus means when he talks about the narrow way. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 8. Paul was saying this. He says, we are troubled on every side. There is the same word as what Jesus used here, the narrow, troubled. That's the same Greek word. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. This word means afflicted. It means distress. It means trouble. This is the way. This is the word that Jesus chose to describe to us the way that leads to life. And Jesus is looking at you tonight, and he's looking at me, and he says, if you're going to enter the straight gate, if you're going to get on the narrow way, it's a hard way. The way to life is hard. Jesus, the one who went to the cross, the man of sorrows, the one who bore unimaginable grief and sorrow. No one suffered like this man. And he's telling us tonight that the road to life is going to be hard. Do you believe that? If you're into easy Christianity tonight, that's on the other road. And perhaps you're thinking, well, I have my sins forgiven. That isn't that hard, is it? Been born again. That wasn't hard. I have a Savior. I thought life got easy. We're affected by the thinking of the easy Christianity in our culture and the wealth and health gospel that is very prevalent in our day. That's not the gospel that Jesus presented to us. Yes, of course, God will give us strength. Yes, he will pour his grace out upon us. Yes, we will find rest. But I have found in my life I'm going to need to use every drop of grace that comes my way. And if it wouldn't be for the arms of God tonight that are everlasting arms that are underneath me, I would fall down. We're going to have to fight to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. We're in a battle. We're soldiers. We're fighting, are we? Are we coasting along? There's going to be powers that are pressing upon you that will resist you. Yes, you will find places of rest and solace on this journey. You will. But the difficult days will outnumber those days. Those peaceful days, those restful days for fighting. Soldiers aren't sitting around. They're alert. They're active. They're ready. They're fighting. They're busy. A.W. Tozer says in his book, The Pursuit of God, he says this, that the way to deeper knowledge of God is through lonely valleys of soul poverty and abnegation of all things. What is abnegation? Self-denial. It means getting stripped. Tonight, I'm suggesting to us, if you're to look in the straight gate and you look down the narrow way, you'll hear the sound of the pruning shears. John 15, Jesus tells us that His Father is the husbandman and He is the pruner. He's busy pruning. If you look down that road, you'll hear the sounds of the rod. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Hebrews 12, verse 6. You will hear the blast of a furnace. That's the refiner's fire. Purifying yourself. Malachi chapter 3, verses 2 and 3 talks about the refiner's fire, purifying them as gold and silver to produce righteousness. 1 Peter 1, 7, that the trial of your faith be much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. This is the narrow road that Jesus is talking about. 1 Peter 4:18, and if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and sinner appear? What do you mean, the righteous scarcely be saved? With much difficulty. The way is hard. Why is the way hard? Because Tozer says that God will lead you into lonely valleys of soul poverty. Tonight, God wants all of you. He wants all of me. If you go on the narrow way tonight, every idol will be stripped from you. God will work at stripping the idols out of your life. Scarcely saved. Saved by much difficulty. Jesus said that the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. There's something that we need to do to enter this kingdom, and it's going to take violence to do it. You must strive to enter the narrow way. People fall out of this way. It is a way of difficulty. The way is hard tonight on the narrow way because Jesus tells us in the Gospels many times that there's death on this way. It tells us in Matthew chapter 10 that whosoever finds his life will lose it. And whosoever loses his life for my sake shall find it. Whosoever seeks to preserve his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life will keep it. If you choose to surrender to Christ, He will begin to turn you into His likeness. And there's so much in me tonight that needs to die. There's so much in you tonight that needs to be put to death. Another quote from Tozer, he says, "There is within the human heart a tough, fibrous root of fallen life whose nature is to possess, always to possess. It covets things with deep and fierce passion. The pronouns my and mine look innocent enough in print, but their constant and universal use is significant. They express the real nature of the old Adamic man better than 1,000 volumes of theology could do. They are verbal symptoms of our deep disease. The roots of our hearts have grown down into things, and we dare not pull up one rootlet lest we die. When God saves you tonight, He wants all of you. All of you need to be on the altar. All of myself needs to be on the altar. All my plans, all my desires, everything I am to all that He is. And my will tonight and my desires, they're very strong. Christianity is just not simply getting our doctrine right. But Jesus tells us that there, anyone who follows Him, there's a cross that they need to carry. And you don't see a cross on my shoulder tonight. I'm not traveling that road to Golgotha to be crucified. But really, would Jesus have used a picture like this if He meant to tell us that the road to life was easy? He used a picture like this because He meant it. It's going to be difficult. It's hard to die. It's hard to put yourself to death. One more quote from Tozer. He says this: "The ancient curse will not go out painlessly. The tough old miser within us will not lie down and die in obedience to our command. He must be torn out of our heart like a plant from the soil. He must be extracted in agony and blood like a tooth from the jaw. He must be expelled from our soul by violence as Christ expelled the money changers from the temple. And we shall need to steel ourselves against His piteous begging, recognizing it is springing out of self-pity, one of the most reprehensible sins of the human heart." Do you find it that hard to die? Do I do that in my life forcefully? This has to be done. Jesus tells us, He used forceful language. He says, "You take off the arm, pluck out the eye." Why does He talk like that? Because we need to be serious about this. The old man has to die. It has to be put to death every day. The consolation in all of this, I'm painting a hard picture tonight. But the consolation in this is that God, our Father, is the one who carries the pruning shears. God, our Father, is the one who carries the rod. God, our Father, is the one who controls the furnace and the fire. That's the consolation tonight. There are things tonight that I think I could not live without. But God will have all of me. He will have all of you. Real repentance is this. It's when you get to the end, you say, "Okay, Lord, I surrender. I'm done. I'm done fighting. I will trust in You." If anyone will come after Me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow Me. Tonight, as Christians, we are bound to the will of God. And that's really where the tension is, right there. It is my will and God's will. My will has to die. God is not in the business of taking me where I think I want to go. God will not allow His reign to be challenged. God will rule supreme. Jesus tells us to count the cost. Sit down and count the cost. This is going to cost you. How much is it going to cost you? It's going to cost you everything. Are you willing to do that? To surrender yourself that much? Everything. It's all on the table. Lord, you decide. Jesus tells his disciples, he talks about his own suffering, and then he talks about if a corn of wheat falls into the ground and dies, brings forth fruit. Jesus is telling us tonight, if we're going to follow Him, He's not the only one that's going to suffer. We need to put to death our old life. It needs to die. God will take us up hills of difficulty. He will take us to deserts of despair. We will experience snares on this road. There will be trials on this road. There'll be fiery temptations. I know them. I've given in to them. There are things that you and I will have to overcome every day if we are to remain on this road. Who of us wants to carry a cross? No one does. No one wants to carry a cross. That's a symbol of death. But folks, we need spiritual eyes to see tonight that this is only for a season. The Bible tells us that our life is but a vapor. It's so short in comparison to eternity. Paul says that this light affliction is but for a moment, and it will yield the eternal weight of glory. What's at the end of this road? What's at the end of this road? It's life. It's life. There's glory at the end of this road. Well done, good and faithful servant. Who of us wouldn't want to hear that tonight? Well, we all want to hear that. But there's a cost that comes with that. It's not my will, but thine be done. It's the will of God tonight that we go through the fires. We experience the rod. And we experience the shears lopping things off of us. But in the midst of that, we claim the promises of God. He says, I'll never leave you, nor forsake you. And when we face hard times in our life, we walk through those valleys clinging to the promises of God and trusting Him. Tonight, the broad way, that looks good. But the end is bad. The narrow way doesn't look so good to us. But the end is what we want. The narrow way is a path of 10,000 deaths. It means lots of trips to Mount Moriah, where Abraham took his son Isaac. Our Lord has come. Why? He's not come to destroy. He's come to save. The pruning shears, they're to make you more fruitful. The fire is to make you more pure. The rod is to produce righteousness. Tonight I fail to understand how much I need to be saved from. One of the things we're not able to see real well is how lost I am yet. And what I still need saved from. Tend to be so blind. And we say things like this, well, that's not really sin. Well, God knows my heart the best. Jesus has come to save you and me from our sin. He has come to make us into His likeness. This will take a lot of work. I have found in my own experience that I have grown in the darkest times. It's not easy to grow when things go well for us. We tend to get lazy and careless. We get sidetracked. And we start going backwards. And so tonight, if you're in a lonely valley, take courage tonight and keep going. If you're facing strong temptation tonight to sin, there is a way that you and I can walk without falling into sin. Brothers and sisters, we're here for just a moment. We're here for just a little, and then we're gone. It really is. Proverbs chapter 4, let's close with some verses there yet. Proverbs 4 and verse 18 speaks of the two ways. But the path of the just, verse 18, the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness, and they know not it, but they stumble. The more we walk in truth, the more truth we practice in our lives, the better we'll be able to see the way. The light will get brighter for us, and we'll be able to see more clearly how we should live, how we should walk, because the light is shining brighter. And hopefully as we get to the end of the way, that light will become more and more bright for us because we have learned to walk in truth. The way of darkness. You know, Satan is the cruelest taskmaster that there is. He has come to destroy. His desire is to put us into captivity and to bind us up into fetters and to keep us in prison. Jesus has come to heal. He has come to save. He has come to break those fetters that have bound us. And He's come to set us at liberty from our own selves and become bound to Him. So tonight, which road are you on? Which road am I on? These are questions I ask myself. We need to think about this. Tonight, our souls, eternity is at stake tonight. So tonight, we will give an invitation. If you're here and you would like some help, we'll find help from God's Word. Perhaps you know you're on the wrong way. You want to get on the narrow way. Tonight is an opportunity for you to do that. Just forget about what people think. It doesn't matter. Satan likes to hold that in front of us. You know what? In light of eternity, it doesn't matter at all. It doesn't matter at all. So put that to death. I've had to do that. I still have to do that. Put what men think about you to death. Doesn't it? So tonight, come to Jesus if he's been calling you. Sing two verses of an invitation song.